begin reading at verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are to be lights in this world of darkness and sin and corruption. There is a divine light, and light is from God. Genesis 1:3 tells us, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And this was not the light that comes from the sun or the stars, which were not created until the fourth day, but it is a light that is from God. And we know that God is light, as John wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So God is light himself, is the giver of all that is light. And Jesus, who is God and Savior, is light. John 1:4 tells us that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And John tells us in John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And as God, as Jesus is the light of the world, he expects us to reflect his light in our being lights into the world. He says in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And Paul, in the synagogue at Antioch in Pisidia, said these words in Acts 13:47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Paul was to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and to him he brought the light of the gospel of Christ. And in that world of pagan darkness, he shone forth both in himself and as a witness of Christ, a light that would come into the world. Now, we are to be lights, first of all, simply by being good people, good citizens, if you will. For we as Christians have a dual citizenship. There is a heavenly citizenship. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And conversation here translates the Greek word polytuma, which means the administration of civil affairs or of a commonwealth, the constitution of a commonwealth, the commonwealth as being administered. And that word is related to the Greek politio, which means to make or create a citizen, and to behave as a citizen, to conduct oneself as pledged to some law of life. And in salvation, God has created us to be citizens of heaven. And we have been set at liberty in that. We have been given a freedom as citizens of heaven. John 8:36 says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So our freedom as citizens of heaven comes from the fact that Christ has set us free. He has set us at liberty from the bondage of sin. 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so we have freedom from the dominion of our corrupt desires. Once we were in slaves to sin, once sin held us in its bondage, but now we are free from that bondage. We do not have to sin as Christians. Now we do sin, all of us do, from time to time. Sin in word, sometimes even sin in deed. That the reason we still sin is because that we have that sin nature. But because Christ has given us the Holy Spirit, we do not have to be in bondage to those sins. James said in James 1 and verses 13 through 15, "Let no man sin when he is tempted. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." But this liberty that we have in Christ, and as citizens of heaven, as true of all freedom, comes with a responsibility. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:15 through 16, "For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." So Peter is telling us that we cannot use our liberty to live any way that we want to live. For this word maliciousness, which translates the Greek koskios, means wickedness or depravity, ill will, or the desire to injure. Certainly we cannot be subject to wickedness. We should not do any kind of wickedness or any kind of depravity. But it also means that, you know, we should not have ill will towards anyone, that we should not wish anyone harm, and we should have no desire to do injury to anyone. Being made free from the bondage of sin, we perform that part of citizenship by pledging our allegiance to the law of God, by which the commonwealth of heaven is administered, and are bound by that pledge, as it is said in 1 Corinthians 7:22, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." And again, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, in verses 15 through 18, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." So we are honor bound to live as God has willed us to live. And in Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul wrote to Titus, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he writes in verses 19 through 22, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that cometh, that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So we see that we are honor bound to serve God as citizens of heaven, which he has given us and made us. And Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:12, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." We are, as citizens of heaven, ambassadors to our earthly country, our earthly citizenship. A country sends out certain of its citizens to be ambassadors to another country, and these are to represent the standards and the ideals of their country. Paul recognized himself as an ambassador of the gospel. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 18 through 20, "Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And as citizens of heaven, God calls each one of us to be his ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 17 through 20, we find that these words are written: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, which hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." So, to us as ambassadors have been committed words of reconciliation. The gospel of Christ, that died for our sins, was buried and rose again, is our message as ambassadors from heaven and from God to the sinful world. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And that is our message that we can take out as ambassadors. And we are to take this message to the world by the great commission found in Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we are citizens of heaven, and as citizens of heaven, we are ambassadors to earth. But we also have an earthly citizenship, and we have an obligation to God and our country to be the best citizens that we can be in our country. And we must strive not only to represent the ideals of heaven, but also of the ideals of our country. And our country does have ideals, and we've not always lived up to them. We probably cannot ever fully live up to those ideals, but there are ideals that are in and of themselves lights to a dark world. For when the world was in bondage, we set about to be a people that could be a free people, free not to do anything we want to do, but free to obey the laws of our land, free to do whatever we can to make life better. And to take our civic responsibility seriously, we are to obey the laws, things like jury duty. I've only been called one time to jury duty, and that was a civil case, so I didn't have to worry about sending anybody to prison. But one of the things that kind of I thought about was how many people that were called had some kind of excuse to get out of it and, not have to do that. Yet, that's something we should do. And also, as good citizens, we need to participate in the electoral process. We need to vote. We need to support candidates that we agree with. And even peacefully protest when necessary, and in the role of politics. It is necessary to be good citizens. Our government, as all legitimate governments, is ordained of God. As Paul wrote in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Human government has an authorized sphere of power. Matthew 22:21, Jesus said, when the people asked him about should you pay taxes, he said, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So human government is to reward good works and to punish evil works. As Calvin wrote, the establishment of civil justice and outward morality to reconcile us to one another and to promote general peace and tranquility. That's the purpose of a human government. And since God has legitimately recognize and organize human government as good citizens, we are to be in subjection to that government. And as lights to the world, we need to be good citizens, not only of heaven, but of our country also. It is said in Scripture, authority being granted by another necessarily involves responsibility to the one who gives it. And if that responsibility is not properly exercised, it becomes sin. So human government is responsible to God and is limited by God's standards. No human government can command a Christian or anyone to perform immoral acts or to obey laws that are contrary to the standards of God. However, we must be careful to obey all laws, even bad laws, even laws that we might not agree with, but which do not run contrary to God's law, as long as they do not conflict with God's standard. And we do this so when we stand and obey God rather than men, we will have moral legitimacy. As one has written, to say no to government's unauthorized demands is more effective when we have said yes to government's authorized demands. So we must guard against being viewed as simply bad citizens or anti-government. When we stand against a law that is bad, we stand by the moral authority of Christ, and our lives, which should be lights into the world, should back up that stand. And the foremost way that we can be lights to the world is to be bearers of the gospel. Amen. That Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Both as citizens of heaven and as citizens of earth, as citizens of our country, we are to live a life of morality, of peace, and have the reputation for abiding by the law. We should be a testimony by living by God's standards, having no double standards, calling sin, sin, and wrong, wrong. And no matter who might be guilty, no matter who it might affect, no matter how hard it might be for us to do that, that we might be known as peacemakers, we should do this in a loving manner, in a lawful manner, in a way that seeks to correct and to edify and to bring those in the wrong to the right. And we should seek to bring together our nation. After years of being under God's judgment, is divided, for division is one of God's biblical judgments upon sin. We are filled today with strife and hate, accusing one another, demonizing those that don't agree with us. And we need to not fall into that. For there is all of these wrongs, we must exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, part of which is love and being kind and just being goodwill toward people. We must, where there is hatred, show love, our love, God's love. And where there is strife, let us bring reconciliation. And where some seek to divide, let us seek to unite. And as we reflect on the light of Him who is light, which has given us both life and light, let us, to the best of our abilities, be citizens of both heaven and of both earth, that we can be both earthly and heavenly ambassadors and those of goodwill that brings peace, reconciliation to the world, knowing that peace and reconciliation comes only from God. As we've been reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, let us be those who try to reconcile the world, both one to another, and also through bringing the gospel and through a gospel-living life, bring reconciliation to all, that we might, in the end, be said to be lights of the world.
Thanks, Jim.